Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
Just cheesing it today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I love seeing that beautiful, radiant smile. It's like an umbrella for me from the rainstorms of the world.
Do you know that we have been together almost 10 years now?
Oh, my goodness, you're right.
It's July.
We've been together 10 and a decade.
July
of love.
Is when we first smooched.
It's when we first smooched.
You moved here.
I moved here. We were watching C-SPAN.
I know.
And it was a very sexy episode of C-SPAN. And they were about to pass the big bill, and you looked at me and you were like, French me hard. And I was like, whoa, what? And I did. And you were like, that was the best French I ever did get. And I said, thank you. That's really nice. It's been a while for me.
And then you were like, do you want a French again tomorrow and for the rest of our lives?
Yeah. And you said just once a day. And sure enough, once a day we French. 3,650 times we Frenched by my math. And I remember every single one. It was August 22nd, 2017.
Okay. Do you have any small
it
wonders?
It was balmy outside.
You have any small wonders?
Small wonders? Gosh, I don't know, man. I did the mole as a big wonder like 2 weeks ago, but I've been dreaming about the mole. I'm going to talk about my mole dreams.
Mole dreams.
For like three nights in a row now, I've had mole dreams.
Uh-huh.
And it's in some of them, I'm just shooting the shit with Andy Coop. And in some of them, I'm like strategizing with the other players, going through our notebooks, talking about who we think the mole is. And then in some of them, I'm running around like a small Italian like mountain town looking for people to like let me wash my clothes in their laundry rooms.
Yeah.
Trying to get $20,000, but fucking Jeffrey's there, and he's, I think, sabotaging it on purpose. These are the dreams I've been having.
We talked with our friend over the weekend who had also watched The Mole, and we all related how we learned how to pour a glass of wine from Andy Cohen, or not Andy Cohen, from Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
In a particular episode of The Mole, and it was amazing that all of us kind of retained that information.
Because
that is definitely true. Like, I was like, oh, you turn the bottle at the end.
Yeah. It's a fucking great show. Yeah. Wow, it's a good show. Do you have any small wonders?
We haven't talked about, but the new season of I Think You Should Leave is on Netflix.
Oh, God almighty.
And it is just everything you'd want it to be.
It's so fucking funny.
It's unreal. It's just unreal. And like, you will see people referencing it already because there are so many just like totally bizarre.
I'm sure everybody's seen references to Dan Flash's, but like that sketch.
Yeah.
It has contributed so much to our cultural landscape.
Is that the complicated shirt one?
That's the one with the complicated shirts. This shirt's got a pattern so complicated it costs $1,000. Man, it's a good sketch. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah, that's really good. You go first this week.
I do.
All right. What do you got?
So you have talked about amusement parks.
True.
Which was a really bold choice because
I really wasted a lot of good topics.
You made it difficult to really talk about that without overlapping.
But that was an early episode. Like, it's been long enough now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are approaching 200.
Yeah.
I think at this point we can start getting a little more
granular. Well, so I decided to talk about a particular ride at a particular park.
Okay.
That I don't think you'll be familiar with.
Okay.
Because you have never been to the Pride of the Ozarks, Silver Dollar City.
I've never been to Silver Dollar City, no.
And to be honest, like, I have not been in like 20 years.
Sure.
I did a little research to make sure it is relatively the same park, because the whole thing with Silver Dollar City is that it is like 1880s themed.
Wait, is Silver Dollar City an amusement park?
Yes.
Oh, it's not a city.
No.
I always thought Silver Dollar City was a city.
Yeah. Well, apparently there was an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where they like visited Silver Dollar City and it was an actual city. So maybe that's what you're thinking.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, I'm a huge fan of that show.
Big Clampett fan.
Yeah.
Silver Dollar City is like 3.5 hours south of where I grew up.
Okay.
So when I was little, and we did not have the means to, afford a fancy vacation, we used to get in the car and drive down south, and we'd rent like a cabin and go to Silver Dollar City for a few days.
Awesome.
And now it's a 100-acre park. It has 40 rides. It's
like Silver Dollar City.
It's like a big place.
It's a park.
The ride I want to talk about is Fire in the Hole.
Sounds good so far.
But I wanted to tell you a little bit more about Silver Dollar City first.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is built around a cave. There is a cave there called Marvel Cave. That was originally called, it was originally called Marble Cave because they saw all the limestone and thought it was marble and then realized it wasn't marble and then quickly pivoted
to play it off.
Marvel Cave.
No, we didn't say marble. No. You misheard us. Of course that's limestone.
So this cave was opened for tours, in 1894. And just kind of was like a tourist attraction because it was a cave for a long time.
But then somebody was like, you know what this cave could use? A roller coaster outside of it.
So I didn't realize that, and this is just because I haven't been in a long time, but the amusement park is built basically on top of the cave.
Okay.
So like you can go to the cave and hang out and visit the cave. And then the next day you can like go up above ground and like hit the amusement park.
It must be pretty scary for all the bats that live in there.
Well, I didn't realize. No marble in the cave, but what they did is they mined bat guano.
Yeah.
From the cave.
Yeah, cool. What do you mean?
It has lots of nitrogen, apparently.
No, yeah, I know, but like, does one mine bat guano?
I guess so. I guess you get
it. You don't just scoop it up?
You dig her up. I don't know. I'm not a caving expert.
Okay.
But I the way I imagine it, It's just like kind of a Seven Dwarves situation where people go down with
their pickaxes,
yeah,
trying to get poop,
and they just scrape away.
Yeah, I mean we've all seen Ace Ventura and when nature calls. Like we know what the guano
bats
situation.
Are like, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, and they'll be like,
oh, we got more poop. Yeah, coming.
They'll be like, maybe boost that roughage intake because we're not hitting our quota. Boss man's pretty PO'd.
Okay, so then in 1946, this family from Chicago, the Hershens, vacationed in the Ozarks, saw the cave. At that point, the cave's owners were getting ready to retire, and the Hershens said, well, we'll take it.
Okay.
And they offered the Hershens a 99-year lease on Marvel Cave. And then they kind of flipped it. They turned it into like a more profitable business. And then in the 1960s, they opened Silver Dollar City.
Okay.
And it was the promotional idea was that the visitors would get silver dollars as change.
Wait, what?
It wasn't an amusement park at first. At first, it was just kind of like a little restoration village, like 1880s. There was like a blacksmith shop and an ice cream shop and a general store. And it was just like a little like, come visit this,
right,
this town.
Okay.
And the idea was that when you paid for something, you would get change in silver dollars.
But what if your change was like 81 cents?
Well, then I think you would just get 81 cents.
But then if you showed up and you're like, let me get this mug that says Jennifer on it and then says like a Bible verse about Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, okay, that is $2. And you're like, I only have 100. And you slide them a hundo and then they're like, okay, here's $98. That's the sound of many coins.
People had to like be carried out because they couldn't withstand the weight of all their silver dollars.
Yeah.
What would a Bible verse about Jennifer be, by the way?
Oh, I mean, it would be like, you know, it would be something from Song of Psalms, one of the tamer Song of Psalms, not the one that's like her, those yabos are like two big coconuts, right, boys? I believe that's Song of Psalms 6:1. There's a lot of, I don't know, you're
I was
not
thinking
a big
it was something
Bible
more like,
reader,
oh, ye Jennifer.
No, I don't think
gentle hands.
Gentle hands. Jennifer. Oh, ye Jennifer with the gentle hands.
Be cautious.
Yeah.
With the thorns.
Of
roses.
John 3:16.
Yeah.
So tell me about this ride.
Okay. So this ride, Fire in the Hole, was the first indoor roller coaster, like before even Space Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah. It debuted in 1972.
Okay. Is this a ride you've gone on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's still there. Like it opened in 1972, still running, still same. Like it's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean, like same like animatronic situation.
Oh.
So yeah, so that's the thing. So inexplicably, so they decided they wanted to build a indoor roller coaster and they kept it kind of in-house. So it's a little unusual for roller coasters to be built like locally. Like a lot of times they will bring in outside teams to do it. Then another example of an in-house roller coaster is the Beast at Kings Island.
The Beast?
Yeah.
That's not indoors.
No, like in-house.
Oh.
Like they built it themselves.
Jesus Christ. I was thinking about in a house. Like in, you were talking about in a house.
Okay, in my defense. Whoa, here's the kitchen.
You were talking about an indoor roller coaster, I know. And then you started talking about in-house, I was like, the Beast isn't in somebody's house? What a big house that would have to be.
We're going to the bathroom.
Whoa. Hey, that would be a sick roller coaster. Okay, anyway.
So Fire in the Hole is an indoor roller coaster. It's kind of like half dark ride, half roller coaster, in that there is... Like, there are several drops. There's three drops. But you are also going through the story. And the story they chose is when the town burned down.
Okay, cool.
There is a story about these vigilantes in the Ozarks called the Bald Knobbers. Bald Knobbers.
I like it already.
There was a fire that a lot of people suggested was started by this group of vigilantes. But the ride depicts this fire. So you go through the town and then everything catches on fire.
Cool.
And then at the very end, somebody yells fire in the hole and you go down the biggest drop.
Okay.
Of the thing. And so it has a very like Pirates of the Caribbean vibe.
Right.
Because you were like... watching this kind of disaster play out.
Right.
The final drop, I remember as a kid feeling like, oh my gosh, this is so much. It's 21 feet. So
that's
that's a
decent drop.
It seem like a lot to me, but I also don't have real good spatial relations, I guess.
That's true.
But yeah, you do this huge tall drop into the water.
It's a flumey situation.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're in like a coaster car. So it's like the water is not like, it's not to get you like
drenched.
It's
right.
Just like, it's kind of a fire.
A misting.
Thing.
Right.
When you get on the ride, you go through like a fire station and then you're supposed to be like a volunteer firefighter.
Do they blast you with heat? Do you get heat blasted?
I remember that being true, but I don't know if that's true.
I always remember at Kings Island, God, I can't even remember what it was, but there was like a haunted mansion style ride that at the very end, there was this huge haunted furnace that would like blast you with very uncomfortable amounts of heat. But if you just did like a water ride and you were all soaked, you could ride it a couple times
and dry off.
Well, life hack there.
I will say there is a sister ride. This Fire in the Hole ride, the Hershens, who bought the park, also did Dollywood.
Okay.
And so there is a sister ride at Dollywood called Blazing Fury.
Okay.
That is supposed to be very similar.
I've been to Dollywood.
I have not.
Okay. Damn it. I wish we could compare notes.
But yeah, this was for me, like as a kid, I was always really scared of roller coasters. And this was like one of the first roller coasters I ever went on.
Yeah.
And this kind of the narrative element of it was always really cool. And I watched a few ride-throughs on YouTube and I got very nostalgic.
Oh, that's sweet.
Just like having that experience again. Because it really, I don't think I've been since I was like 10, maybe.
Let's load the kids up in a big bus and do a whistle-stop tour of... sort of off-brand Midwestern amusement parks.
I watched a lot of videos, and there were people that said, behind Disney World and Universal Studios.
Silver Dollar City. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, also in Silver Dollar City, since it's 1880s themes, there's all these like little demonstrations, and so you can see like glass blowing, and there's like blacksmiths and people making brooms.
Bloodletting. Hey, speaking of silver dollars, you want to get some of them?
Yeah.
Steal you away. Got a couple puppy dogs here. And the first one is for Mitchell, and it's from Olivia, who says, Mitchell, I'm so lucky to know someone as kind-hearted as you. Thank you for being so uniquely you and introducing me to so many awesome, wonderful things. I love you, and I can't wait to see where this year brings us and to start this journey in KC together. I hope this is sappy enough for you. You and me, honey bunch. KC, you would assume, means Kansas City, but yes. Actually they're starting a KC and JoJo cover band.
Oh.
Yeah, so like to start this journey in our KC and JoJo cover band.
See, I thought it was Kentucky Chicken.
Not
necessarily
fried.
Not fried.
This Kentucky Chicken, we boiled it. It's good, though.
Can I read the next message?
Yes.
This is for Stevie and Linz. It is from Laura. Stevie and Linz, you are the best sister and sister-in-law I could hope for. Stevie, you have always been my role model, even when we annoy the crap out of each other. Linz, your search for beauty every day inspires me. I can't wait to come visit your new house. And Stevie, maybe you can play Nintendo for me and help me beat Zelda. I love you both.
You got to get the sword and put in, you cut Ganondorf with it. A lot of people don't know that.
Every Zelda game, that's the
more or less the climax. Zelda game ends when you put the sword in Ganondorf. And then he gives you the triangle. He has a triangle that you need. Uh-huh. And the only way to get it from him is you put your sword on in him.
This sounds like how I would describe it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's irrefutable.
Since the dawn of time, screenwriters have taken months to craft their stories. But now, three Hollywood professionals shall attempt the impossible. Break a story in 1 hour.
That's right. Here on Storybreak, I, Freddie Wong,
Matt Arnold,
and Will Campos,
the creators behind award-winning shows like Video Game High School,
have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie.
Now, an awesome movie starts with an awesome title.
I chose The Billionaire's Marriage Valley.
Mine was Christmas Pregnant Paradise.
Okay, next we need a protagonist.
So I've heard Wario best described as Libertarian Mario.
And of course, every great movie needs a stellar pitch.
In order to get to heaven, sometimes you gotta raise a little hell.
That's the tagline!
Check out Storybreak every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's your thing?
Sweet potato?
Sweet potato?
We've talked about sweet potato casserole. This is what I'm talking about. Rounding 200, we're getting more granular. I want to talk about the tuber named sweet potato, because if I had to eliminate all but like three kinds of produce from the world, sweet potato would make the cut.
I thought you were going to talk about your like favorite potato, but you're saying like produce top three.
Yeah, sweet potato is really good.
Oh.
What did you think I was going
to
say?
There are a lot of kinds of potatoes. And yeah? I thought you were going to be like, if I had to eliminate all the kinds of potatoes.
No. I mean, sweet potato would make the cut, and regular old plain Jane potato would also probably make the cut.
You know when you go to the grocery store and there's regular potatoes?
But don't make me choose. There's a ton of different kinds of sweet potatoes. I'm going to talk a lot about sweet potatoes here. We've been doing a lot of meal kit stuff and a lot of ordering food out since Gus was born. I cooked my first like meal. I made curry a few days ago, and that was the first thing I had cooked since Gus had been born. We've been doing a lot of carry out and a lot of meal delivery stuff, and my sweet potato consumption has increased, I would say, dramatically during this period. And man, it's just instilled it hasn't instilled it, it has reinforced my love of the delightful orange old tuber that we call sweet potato.
There's something about the way you say sweet potato that I find very pleasing.
I
don't know what it is.
Okay.
Well, I'll pay attention.
You're going to really enjoy this then. I've never had a bad sweet potato like experience, this bad sweet potato dining experience. Because you talk about sweet potato fries. Do you remember when America caught sweet potato fry fever?
Yes. Yeah. When you go to a restaurant and they would offer that as a side and you'd be like, ooh.
Let's mix it up. Roast sweet potato in the autumn times with just some other like autumnal boys in there.
Yeah. I love putting like a paprika on there, paprika, and a garlic.
Sweet potatoes and some exciting squashes all in the same shit. Oh, uh-huh. Man, that's good. Uh-huh. Whipped sweet potato with rosemary up in there. I think I will actually eat 100 pounds of that, please. One big thing that I've learned during these periods of having a baby and ordering food a lot is you make a sweet potato hash, you can put anything in that.
Yeah.
Sweet potato hash is a base that any protein or flavor, you can have a sweet potato dish. You can have a salty sweet potato. You can have a spicy sweet potato. It is a crowd pleaser.
It's got a good contrast. You know, the whole like salt, fat, acid.
Heat. It does all of it except acid. It's a distant relative of the potato. You would think sweet potato, that's like potato's brother. It's like its third cousin.
Oh.
Because they are both part of the order Solanales, but potatoes are in the nightshade family, which encompasses a lot of stuff. Tomatoes, peppers, tobacco is in the nightshade family. Sweet potatoes belong to another family that I can't pronounce the name of, but they have more in common with the flower morning glory than they do the potato. And in fact, sweet potatoes grow flowers above the ground on their vines that are quite lovely. They are just these sort of heart-shaped purple flowers that are very, very pretty. And in fact, some people grow decorative sweet potato plants, not to ever eat the sweet potato. That sweet tuber below the ground, but to enjoy the purple flowers above the ground.
Huh.
And they call them tuberous morning glory. Unfortunately, I thought it was going to be tubular morning glory, which would have been way better, but tuberous morning glory. They're really pretty.
Did you guys ever have a vegetable garden?
No. We had a Kroger's, and I guess they must have had a garden because they always had vegetables.
We had a little vegetable garden situation, but never grew any like root vegetables. Hmm. So I didn't know the purple flowers.
We had a chia pet. So in North America, we call them yams, but they are not. Yams refers to a whole genus of edible tubers that I don't think sweet potato is part of. But there's like every country I've learned calls different things yams. But yams is a genus that sweet potato is not a part of.
Genus and the edible tubers is my favorite indie band.
That's mine too. They were first cultivated in either Central or South America between like the Yucatan Peninsula and the in Venezuela, the mouth of the Orinoco River. So if you're on that flow, watch some of those sweet tubers floating down around 5,000 years ago. And around the 13th century, they started to spread as oceanic travel became a thing that folks did, and over the next few centuries, they landed in Polynesia, the Philippines, China, Japan, Korea, and Europe, and they became staple foods in most of those places because they don't do well in cold weather, in like frost, they can't really stand up to, but they grow really fast and reliably, which is great. And like, they're a staple food, especially in Japan, because if their rice harvest was poor, they had sweet potatoes to fall back on.
Yeah.
Thanks, sweet potatoes. In 2019, planet Earth grew 92 million tons of sweet potatoes, and China grew most of those, over half of those.
Man.
And I've saw a lot of talk about sweet potatoes recently in these hot summer months. There's this vegan chef named George Lee who went viral for this video where he showed a sort of common refreshing summertime treat in Taiwan. And all it is you take a big sweet potato, a long one preferably, and you bake the hell out of it until it starts to sort of like sweat out its sugars and get kind of like gooey and caramelly. And then you freeze it for a long time until it basically turns into like this creamy custardy kind of like sweet potato popsicle. That's all it is. Sweet potato, bake it, freeze it, eat it. Nothing else goes into the process.
Yeah.
I want to do this so badly because it looks so dope.
Mm.
It looks really good. And also you can use the vines in your aquarium. because they suck up. Fish produce a bunch of nasty toxins and stuff like that, and the sweet potato vines love to eat that up, and they grow really fast, and they keep your aquarium clean. Sweet potatoes, what can't they do, man? It is a perfect thing, sweet potatoes. There's nothing wrong with sweet potatoes. Nothing, it's hard to...
They're kind of sweet.
Damn it, but they're not too sweet, are they?
No, I mean, if you don't add like additional sugar, like sweet potato casserole is like a...
Perfect food also that like we've talked about on this show.
Very
before.
Sweet food.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Silver Dollar City, it rains there sometimes. How's that feel? Yeah, well, sometimes the fire in the hole ride, I bet it breaks down sometimes. Yeah. How's that feel?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that what this show is now?
I'm sorry. It's just when you call something a perfect food, you know, I feel like, well, actually.
Yeah, no, that just, is
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Very, very toxic facet of your personality. And I'm glad the audience is finally getting to see it. Just say one nice thing about sweet potatoes.
I like the skin.
All right.
Like if you're making like a sweet potato fry, I like leaving the skin on. Get that crunch.
You're back. You're back in my good book.
Mm-hmm. I think I like when you say sweet potato because it reminds me of when Henry was a baby and it was like the only thing he would eat. And you used to go, you want some seat potato?
Or seat tato.
Seat tato?
A seat tato is also a big chair that you can make out of these incredible tubers. Great. Hey, thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network.
Yeah. Hey, Maximum Fun, if you're a fan of Maximum Fun and you're familiar with Bubble, that graphic novel is out along with the Adventure Zone graphic novel. It's a twofer.
It's a real graphic time for the Max Fun family. check out Bubble. It is a fantastic and hilarious and thrilling graphic novel.
Yeah.
And it would be also cool if you picked up Crystal Kingdom, the latest Adventure Zone graphic novel. That would also be cool of you. We got a bunch of merch stuff at macroymerch.com that also I bet you'd be really into if you just gave it a chance for once in your life.
Yeah, you can still get that wonderful shirt, can't you?
Yeah, of course you can get that wonderful shirt. And you can get a bunch of other stuff too. And I would eat a sweet potato raw right now. I didn't have much breakfast. And I'm excited about the... Do we have any of those orange beauties in the house?
No.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, folks, I'm going to go find a sweet potato. In the wild.
Start digging some holes.
Just start digging them and looking
for... Well, I think now we know. If you see a purple flower...
There's probably sweet potato.
There's smoke,
there's fire. That's what I always say. Thanks for listening. Till next time, sing the goodbye song.
Thank you for listening to our show today. We had a lot of laughs along the way. Dun, 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 dun. Everything is wonderful when you're with Rachel and Griffin. So sit right back and you'll hear a tale.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Hey, I'm Jordan Morris, creator of the Max Fun scripted sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble. We just released a special episode of Bubble to celebrate the launch of our new graphic novel. At SF Sketchfest in 2019, we recorded a live show with Allison Becker, Eliza Skinner, Mike Mitchell, Cristela Alonso, and special guests Jean Grey, Jonathan Colton, Jesse Thorne, Nick Weiger, and a bunch of other cool folks.
We suspect he'll show signs of mutation when in a state of excitement. Now, Annie matched with him on Tinder, so she's going to act as the honeypot.
I do enjoy being called a honeypot.
Hey, you know what's better than honey?
gravy.
Oh yeah, can I be the gravy sack?
Out now on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts. And pick up the graphic novel at your local bookstore today.